Okay, sir, the Honorable Mr. Little is going to read your hearings of this hangover, sir, and we'll be ready to go in just a few moments, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay. Would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Yes, sir, my name is Daoud Abdulaziz, and my DOC number is 07447.
Thank you, sir. You're praying for the Honorable Board of Judge McClellan this morning in reference to your community supervision revocation. I may introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. Wait till they are done playing musical chairs. All right, the gentleman that's still standing is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. The other gentleman, to his right, is the Honorable Louis Canonis. My name is David Neal, I'll be the hearing lead, and also in the room today we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and will also represent the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
Okay, this time I'm going to swear you and Mr. Westby in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, or be so affirmed?
Yes, sir, I do.
I do. You're going to be held in two phases today, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is read the four allegations that are on your warrant, sir. And after each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. Allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7. As demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about July 5th, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated July 11, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true.
Allegation number two is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 8, as demonstrated by your association with offenders currently in prison without permission on or about July 9th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true.
The allegation number three is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12B, as demonstrated by your being in possession of credit cards on or about July 9th, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true.
And then allegation number four is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 13H, as demonstrated by your failure to refrain from viewing, purchasing, possessing any pornography, sexually stimulating material products, or entering into any adult establishment of any kind on or about July 9th, 2018. Not true or false, sir?
That is true.
Okay, based on the admissions of Mr. Abdulaziz, I'm going to find that he's a laborer and had violated term conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canonis, and agreed by Dr. Wright. Okay, sir, we're going to be going into phase two of your hearing in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Westby is going to give us some background information. So please stay on the line, and I'll be right back with you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Westby.
Mr. Abdulaziz was released on January 4th, 2018 from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested July 9th, 2018 by ABC staff. There were no charges. He was back in DOC custody on July 9th, 2018 with a projected community supervision end date of October 6th, 2019, 07 days. Prior conviction, 2005, kidnapping, 15 years. Prior convictions, 1989, theft, 1.5 years. 1989, fraudulent schemes, two counts, each for 5 years. 1989, burglary, third degree, two counts, each for 10 years. 1989, burglary, second degree, 5 years. 2002, forgery, two counts, each for 7.5 years. 2002, fraudulent schemes, 5 years. 2002, forgery, 2.5 years. This is the second term in DOC. CUIR score 3.2, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 1. STG, gang information notes. He's an African-American consul, security threat group suspect. Prior term supervision, 1997. Parole release completion, 1 year, 5 months. Disciplinary violations are significant with drugs, sex acts, assault, and weapons noted. Other arrests, 1999, sexual assault, Arizona, disposition unknown. Community risk score is a G5B5. He is a level 3 sex offender, registerable, notifiable, SVP reviewable. Dangerous crimes against children is not noted.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Mr. Adams, we're going to go over a summer education division. Looks like when you were originally released, you didn't have approved residents. You were secured residents at a pre-approved sex offender location. Sky Harbor Motel, 2323 East Van Buren Street, number F118, Phoenix, Arizona. And that's the only residence that that you had approved or listed. So did you stay there the entire time, sir?
Yes, sir, I did. If I can, do I add in with this or do I just listen to this? I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, and again, in a minute, you'll have as we go along, you'll have ample opportunity to give us the information you'd like to.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, sir, I did reside at 2323 East Van Buren Street the entire time.
Okay. Let's see. You say you were working at Trendwood Furniture in Phoenix? And then you were a TPAC concrete company. So when did you work for TPAC until you got arrested, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, where did you go tomorrow? A lot of people. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. This is a curiosity thing. When you got out and when you were referred, or you had some employment referrals, were those two companies companies that try to hire felons and help you get rehabilitated specifically, or did you just find those jobs?
Trentwood was on the list of jobs that I got from the parole office that they said they would hire felons. And so I went there. While I was working there, I was out seeking employment on my own through other agencies. Like, I'm a veteran, so I went through the veterans office and I went through DES. But, and I also joined a local laborers union. And in doing that, I was able to find out about TPAC. And they don't necessarily cater to felons, but they will hire felons.
Right, yeah. I mean, I don't think any of them just specifically hire, but that they're open to hiring. And I thought I'd heard TPAC before, but it sounds like you were very limited to job and seeking employment. You found employment, and then we're going to get to that. And for programming, you were referred to TASC when you first got out, Code Peach, and it looks like you had quite a few negatives. 7 out of 9 were negative. There were 2 failures to submit, but you went the next day on each one of them and had negatives. So that means you were negative the whole time, sir. That's very good, very commendable. Did you ever have a drug problem, sir?
No, sir, I did not.
Okay, well, that's very commendable too, and with your time in prison, it's very commendable that you didn't take up the a lot of defenders do that. So, you've quite a bit of information about sanctions. Okay. Now, in the beginning of sanctions, it was discovered that you were writing and receiving letters from inmates in the institution without permission of your assigned parole officer, and you also had some credit cards. And take it because of the way this is written, those credit cards were yours?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But because of your forgery convictions, you were prohibited from having checking accounts or having any credit cards without permission of your assigned parole officer. So why did you go to the first person to get the full credit card that quick after getting out of jail, sir?
Well, sir, I don't want to make this a big excuse. I didn't do it actually that quick. It was just in the last month that I actually received credit cards. But to answer your question, in short, I had a savings account the entire time up until June. And what happened was that I did a little over 16 years in prison. And what I didn't realize, and like I said, I'm not trying to make an excuse out of this, but I had a savings account. And after every 5 transactions that I made in my savings account, they would take $10 per transaction after that. And I didn't understand or realize that. But anyway, after basically giving up $60 or $70 a month for just making transactions on what I had to do, I talked to a bank representative and I asked them why this was happening. Long story short, they told me with a checking account I didn't have to have any extra fee. I could make as many transactions as necessary without fees or whatever, and I just, you know, succumbed to that. I'm not denying that I did anything wrong, because I did, but there were some things that I didn't understand that I do understand now. But to answer your question, it was because I was paying a lot of money for my own account, trying to, you know, pay my bills or whatever, you know, the things that I had to do.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the next thing under your sanctions. I mean, it looks like that on your phone, they found a string of messages with a female named Sunny, and that from the conversation on your phone, it appeared that you were her pimp. You denied that, but you didn't have an explanation for it. So, can you explain that to the board and what you were doing with this conversation with this young woman? Because there was a lot of mention of money and that she was grabbing too much and that you want to go pick some up before she gets robbed. And one place in there you asked, or more than one place you asked her where your money was. So what was going on?
Yes, sir. I can explain that. And I was explaining it to the parole supervisor as I was there. I'm going to keep using the word excuse, because that's what he kept telling me on July 9th. He, meaning my parole supervisor, what he kept saying to me was I was making excuses. And really, I was not trying to make excuses. I was just explaining as he asked me. Sonia is her name. And I never have been and never will be a pimp, and actually, as I was then, I'm offended by that. But what happened with Sonya was, she was doing whatever was she was out here in Arizona doing. I knew her for all of 7 days, and I assisted her actually in going back to Michigan, where she is from. As far as what the money was concerned, is she did ask me to pick up her money before she got robbed, and I did that, and I also gave it to her when she got back on the bus to go where she was from. What she was trying to do was go back home, because the father of her child had her out here doing whatever it is she was out there doing, which is exactly what it sounded like. There was a lot of things going on with her that I was just trying to assist her with. There was, as I'm reading this, a thread of messages, text messages on my phone, but what isn't explained on there is the entire time we were texting each other about that, we were also talking to each other on the telephone. And what she really was just trying to do was get away from the father of her son, I mean, father of her daughter, and go back to Michigan where she's from, which is where she's at to this day. And I assisted her in doing that.
Okay. Then that the pictures, the naked pictures of, I assume, her, because it's under her name. I'm
saying
those were necessary to keep on your phone. I'm not going to ask you why she sent them to you, because there could be very innocent reasons, but they were on your phone and you didn't delete them. And you signed conditions that you wouldn't be in possession of things like that.
Yes, sir, you're correct. No, it was not necessary for me to receive them or to keep them. I will say, though, that was after this, when she was back in Michigan. I was just talking about pimping. But, which, like I said, I deny that to as extreme as I can possibly deny that. But, yes, as I said, I was in prison for over 16 years. The whole selfie thing and all that kind of stuff was really, it was and still is new to me. I didn't deny, at no point did I deny receiving them. And as much as I can say, I was stupid for keeping them. I could go on to say that, you know, I was texted by the parole office to come in that day on July the 9th, which wasn't my normal day for going. And everything that was found in my backpack on me that day, I had with me. I'm just trying to give a general view of the way I was seeing this kind of stuff as opposed to how I see it now, which lets me know how stupid I really was just for doing anything that was outside of my conditions of supervision. But just to let you know, if you want to call it the little sense of naivety that I had, I didn't take any of that stuff as serious as I obviously should have. Because I just as well could have went somewhere and hid that stuff or whatever the case may be, but it was never my intention to be anything but above board.
Okay, sir. Well, I'm going to ask, it's kind of a long question, I guess, but all right, so you're saying that Sonia was prostituting, or at least you suspected she was, and she wanted you to get the money before she got robbed. So, in your own mind, you didn't think, because you knew that she was involved in a criminal activity, that your association with her and you taking money from her would be a violation of your terms of release? You know she's doing a criminal activity. And then you actually not only contacted her, but you went face-to-face contact, and you helped her facilitate the crime by handling the money.
She asked me to come get money, but first of all, to answer your question, in my own mind, in all honesty, I wasn't thinking of that way. I was thinking of trying to help her because, you know, I hadn't even met Sonia probably 5 or 6 days before any of this even happened. If you go over the line of text messages, I met her at a McDonald's up the street from where I lived at on 24th Street in Van Buren. And the things that are on the text messages can be proved, honestly, that I never was there because they're during my work hours. I was texting her. She wanted for her, I guess the ex-husband, the father of her child, to believe that somebody was coming to help her. That's what I did. But like I said, the text messages only speak of a little bit of what was going on, because we were also talking on the telephone. The text messages, where her phone was concerned, was letting the father of her daughter see him. But we also talked on the telephone. It speaks of me not calling the police on this thing either. She could have called the police. So I asked her specifically, did she want me to call the police? And she said no. In my own mind, I don't know how I can say it without just sounding completely stupid, but in my own mind, I wasn't seeing it as a criminal thing as much as I was seeing it as trying to do what she asked me to do, was help her get back home. And in the end, that's exactly what happened, but I can't explain it any other way than that before I keep, like I say, excuse comes to my mind, because that's what I kept hearing. But I'm not trying to make an excuse, I'm just trying to give her a legitimate way that I was thinking.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm going to see if any of my fellow workers have any questions at this time. Okay, so we're going to meet with your hearing. We'll be going in discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to do this, but before we actually do that, we're going to offer you an opportunity to make a final statement. If there's anything else that you would like to tell the board before we make our decision, now would be the time, but we ask that you don't repeat the information we've already gone over. So is there anything else that you'd like to tell us, sir?
Yes, sir. I would just like to sum up by saying, like I said in the beginning, I'm not trying to make any excuses. I do want to give an I do want to say that if the way I see it, I was entirely too loose on my conditions of supervision, and I'm really asking or requesting that I'll be given a second chance, with the understanding that I would follow my conditions of supervision or release to the letter. I would give my own interpretation or take. And then last, if I can just add that my place of employment, TPAC, has assured me that my position has been held for 60 days, which would put me into September. Also, my rent at the place where I stayed has been paid also through August, through September 1st. I was paying all of my community supervision dues, for lack of a better word, and also for my sex offender treatment thing. I'm caught up on everything that I was supposed to be caught up on. I haven't denied any of the stupid mistakes that I made, and I would most definitely not make any more. I guess that's it.
Okay, thank you, sir. We're going to go into discussion now. Like I said, we'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we won't be. So we ask you to remain silent, but stay on the phone, and once we're done with our decision, I'll be back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to go into discussion. Well, Mr. Abdul Aziz made some pretty poor choices, and series of things with the young woman and the credit cards, and the whole thing was I'm not convinced with the explanations, and I guess I'm not in favor of sending Mr. Abdul Aziz back out on community supervision, but I'm going to listen to discussion from my fellow board members.
Agree.
Okay, so based on the information in the number 2018W1958, Mr. Abdul Aziz's testimony and information from the Department of Corrections and Mr. Westby, we will revoke the community supervision of Mr. Abdul Aziz as he was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canova, agreed by Dr. Wright. Okay, so the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. Everybody in the ward, indicated that there's a problem. Really would wish you the best of luck and hope that you can remain crime free when you get out. And once you're done with the Department of Corrections, you won't have a parole officer, but you will always have a sex offender thing to answer to, but it will be a little bit less control than a regular parole officer. And that time, you will have ample opportunity to help people and do the right thing, but you have to think things through. There can be unexpected consequences from this type of thing, and just the whole thing with the young lady is very disturbing. So anyway, we do wish you the best luck. According to our paperwork, you should be released on or by October 6th of 2019. This will conclude your hearing, and would you please put the seal through that on the phone?
Yes, sir.
That's why you're